Beloved, so I'm okay, probably very okay. But there has been some madness. So I thought I would share and ask for your guidance instead of hiding. 4 weeks ago, my best friend took her life, her own life. There have been several experiences around her death. The main experience has been an instant, deep acceptance of her death, feeling lovingness, expansiveness, and joy. Like her death has taken me to a more direct heart communion with her. I always felt she was a gift to me. We were like sisters. She took me to Osho, and he sent me to you. So she has been like an angel on my path. I felt the part of me died with her. It's hard to explain, but I felt so alive, so much love and gratefulness for her, for everything. There is also a feeling of being totally alone now in the world, and that is okay. I also experienced a clear seeing of the mind, seeing that it was mine that killed her. I felt a firm, enough is enough with my own mind. Of course, my mind has set about its retaliation. With this insight, I sense fear in my belly. That fear has grown over the last 2 weeks. At times, it has been almost unbearable. There has been a strong fear of my own death. But I realize it's not death itself. It is the process of dying. An intense fear of the potential for extreme physical pain and the reaction of terror and resistance to that pain. It seems that the fear is more about being alive than dead. With the acceptance of my friend's death, I realize that something about that is deeply understood in my system. Almost like that remains the illusion of separation. Yet it has triggered such a strong fear of living in the physical world. The experiences are so contradictory, from expanded acceptance to contracted fear. I feel the experience of acceptance is more true than the horror stories of my mind has been playing. Is my mind just rerunning some energetic memory of pain? How to remain grounded in the truth? That has been a challenge. I already feel heard by you, even by writing this. I know this madness will pass. I'm watching it as best as I can. With love and gratefulness in all such a day. You should always be aware when that is knocking on the door, because it all depends how you receive it. Your own that, or your friend's that, or anything, anytime you're in contact with that. Because either you can receive that by fear, or you can do it gracefully. That is the difference, gracefully or fear. How does these two words taste? Grace or fear? This is the choice we have. So now this God brought up for you. And you should use the opportunity when it's real to go into it, to feel it. Because you say it will pass. It will pass, but it will come again if it's not gone through. Everything will pass. But if you have realized something, understood something, then it's gone, then it will never disturb you. And if you have accepted that, then nothing can worry you. Nothing can frustrate you. Nothing can make you fearful. So the only way is to meet it. Whatever that you have fear about, you should meet. And now this is coming up about the death, no? You say the instant main experience of her death was feeling lovingness, expansiveness and joy. Like her death has taken me to a more direct heart communion with her. Yes, that is another beautiful thing that death does. Because when that happens, all the little trips goes. No, you can't argue with her. You can't have your opinions with the person. That person is dead now. It brings you back to reality. That is what all the Buddhas say. Why do you quarrel? Why do you fight? Don't you know that you also will die? So having an awareness of that, which any meditator should have, it brings you more into the moment. And you will be more grateful for life. Otherwise, if people have the most beautiful life, they are not grateful. Anything can disturb it. But if you remember, life is a gift. That's what death can do. Either it can make you shrink, make you more hiding, fearful, or it can open you. When it opens you, then you see that life is a gift. And very fragile gift, like a flower. Any moment it can go. And that gives you an awareness to enjoy the moment, because it's very fragile. Otherwise, people fight and quarrel, they have their little things the whole life. And especially, of course, with the most intimate. The husband, the wife, the friend, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, all these things. So if there is more consciousness of reality as it is, then you don't waste time on these things. You become more conscious, and when you become more conscious, you become more loving, more present. And then everything changes. But for that you have to realize the reality as it is. So that should do that. You feel more alive, and it seems like a paradox. You say also the experiences are so contradictory, from expanded acceptance to contracted fear. But life is a paradox. And life and death is not opposite, they are together. So then it makes sense, but for that you have to go into the totality of things, and the mind is always split, always fragmented. And the mind cannot go beyond. So it wants to hold on to that which is temporary instead of seeing the eternity. I also experienced a clear seeing of the mind, seeing that it was mind that killed her. And I felt affirmed, enough is enough with my own mind. Yes. And the only way is to go beyond the mind. Then only you are firm. If you are involved with the mind, you are unsteady. That's what I'm talking about all the time. You have to become steady, steady like the mountain, unshakable. Then you are steady. You are not disturbed by the mind. So that is good, that is coming up. Because otherwise you will always have a chance to be disturbed by the mind. You have to take root deeper than the mind. That is what meditation is all about. To show you, you have a deeper level in yourself, untouched, unspoiled by the mind. And of course it was the mind that killed her. Because it's not natural to take on our own life. It means you cannot deal with your problems, no? The mind is playing tricks on you. Your problems in this world is so much, and you want to escape. That is not possible to do that, because you take with you your imprint of the mind. You have to resolve the mind. You have to be free of the mind. And it is a pity, since even she knew about Osho, but to know about an Osho of a master is not enough. You have to have see what this Osho-ness is about. You have to find out what this Buddha nature is about. You have to come closer, and that is very difficult if you don't have a physical master in the body. My mind set about retaliation, and I sense fear in my belly. That fear has grown over the last 2 weeks. At times it has been almost unbearable. That is just means that you have to face it. Again, it's two ways to look at things. If you are too much, the mind has too much power, then you get fear. Then it's unbearable. But it's just also a great opportunity to go through it. No, meet it head on, this fear. Because you have no reason in this life to be fearful. Fearful means unconscious. In consciousness there is no fear. And there has been a strong fear of my own death. Yes, this is very good, because if you are so lucky to face your own death before you die, then you can be very happy then. Otherwise, and especially here in the West, this is very materialistic societies, very materialistic countries we are living in. So the masses of people here, they want to push away that. Like they want to push away anything that has to do with reality. So everybody is caught by surprise when that comes. And that is a pity, because it means you have lost, you have missed life now. You get scared in the last moment instead of meeting it. And that's what the wise person, the meditator, does. He meets himself, goes beyond the mind before he dies. He gets settled in a deeper place, untouched by the mind. then where's the fear? If there is no mind, where's the fear? There's no fear. And no mind, no death. That doesn't mean that the body doesn't die, but there's no fear of that. It's a natural thing. It's accepted. How come we accept birth? Everybody, oh, birth, so nice. And that nobody wants to talk about. It's something strange. How can you be so lopsided? See the totality of things. It's very strange. The truth is the truth. It has nothing to do with your personal idea. It's like freedom is freedom, but you can't touch it. It's like the wind. You have to get in tune with it. You have to get to know it. Then you can use it. Then you can sail with it also, no? Instead of struggle against it, you can sail with it. Then it can carry you. It becomes your friend instead of your enemy. That is how it is. Then that becomes your friend instead of the enemy. And if you have that as your friend, then nobody can touch you. What are you going to be afraid of? What's the worst thing that can happen? I'm going to kill you. Okay. Let's kill. That's what the mystics have said, no? It's just a reminder also, that should always be a reminder, just live more totally, more beautifully. Then you forget that you are so much into the moment. Instead of living and then worrying about dying. You see how tricky that mind is. Just live more playfully, more relaxed. Don't take it as a struggle. I feel the experience of acceptance is more true than the horror stories of my mind has been playing. Of course, the horror story is from the mind. The experience is something different. When you have an experience, this means that no, you have seen something, you have realized something. The mind can think about it, how the experience can be. It can dream, it can fantasize, it can worry, it can be fearful. But when you have an experience, it cuts through. So you have to learn that. But that is also, the mind has been in control for so long that even when you have an experience, it will come afterwards and doubt it. Is my mind just rerunning some energetic memory of pain? What else can it do? How to remain grounded in the truth? That has been the challenge. That it will always be in the challenge till you are totally grounded in truth. That is what every meditator, every sannyasin has to face. To become more and more steady. Not to be disturbed by the mind. To go deeper. The truth is there, but it's still not integrated. But all these things that is coming up in our life can be a great help to become more steady. To not get so involved, no? To realize that there's more. And that's what that should do. It should be a reminder that this life, birth, life, that is all a gift. Beloved Master Swaro, I like to share with you what was the most important for me in the last retreat was standing up for myself and this battle for the ego. This power and light came to me and enlightened all of my head, and the words that came in the same moment, I will stay with my Master Swaha and he will lead me to liberation. And the ego mind become very small, very far away. When the consciousness and the enlightenment in you talks to you, then the ego mind becomes very, very shy then. Because now you have regained your own insight. That is the difference. If the mind talks, it means that your enlightenment is not there, your consciousness is not there. And if your enlightenment is there, that no mind is there. So you had a very good experience. This light was marvelous, very nice. I enjoyed it a lot. And now I stay in the light. I know that the light is me. I'm made of light and the ego is darkness. I want to stay apart from the mind. I want to stay in the light and silence. I can see clearly when the mind comes in. It's just headache and it is like a labyrinth with no way out, just going around and around. I reconnected with the lightness, with no mind, with the beauty. I stopped. I have been in the here and now, in the silence, in the being. Isn't it great, Devavi? But how is it now? No, at least you have been there, so you know. I experienced the ecstasy, the light, the grace. I understood Swaha better. I can understand because I'm in tune now with you. And I feel how he is in ecstasy, enjoying. When you're in tune with me, then you will, only then you will know. I understand why he doesn't want to go into our minds. I understand that there is no need to go there, no need to allow the mind to take over. Good. I understand the need to focus on the positive, in the joy, in the light, in the ecstasy. I felt so happy. Ah, yes, joy without a reason, joy of the light, because the light is joy. The light brings lightness, expansion, enjoyment. I enjoy the no hurry, the calmness, the lightness. I looked at myself in the mirror and I saw that it doesn't matter if I physically look like my family. I am expanded and my perception of myself is much more than the body. My head, my being is enlightened. I don't feel like thinking. Nothing at all. It seems like thinking is synonymous with problems. I just want to be here and now. And it feels like this truth is sinking into me now. Yes, it takes some time. But it will sink in sooner or later. And when it sinks in, it tastes so good. And I feel it happening, an integration of this truth in my whole being. I love you, Swaha, and thank you for everything that is happening to me. Love, love, Devi. Very good, Devi. My beloved Master, the most important thing in my life has always been to look for the truth, and now that I found you, my heart only longs to dedicate my life to you. That must mean that you have felt something, that you found what you were looking for. Listen to these words from Guru Nanak. Only the very fortunate ones find the living master. To all who come, he can reveal the true identity of God. Only the very fortunate ones. I have come to such a master for help. I worship his lotus feet. He is truly the destroyer of delusions. All other practices take you around in circles. Only the living master brings you true success. In vain, people try to find God in books. But all who reach across did so by listening to the Guru and go within. Beloved, please pour your grace on Nanak. Please bless him with holy company. Please help him to reach. That means that you are ready now. That you have found, then the heart, it have found something to devote itself to. Nothing before was worthy enough to devote itself to. And the heart knows what it wants. So if you are fortunate that you're listening to your heart, that heart is talking with such a loud voice that you can hear it, then you're very fortunate. After each retreat, the longing to stay closer and closer to you, to follow you, to live where you and the Sangha live, is stronger and stronger. But this, my Sangha, is a caravanserai. It's not so easy. So look into it before you do. At least Brazil is warm now. Here soon we will have snow now. So I decided to make it true. My Italian life, at least as I know it, and I have made it until now, has come to an end. It has come to an end. You have to write me and tell me then. I thank and honor it. I've learned many things about myself, about others, and about life, but much of it is just ideas. Ideas that are disappearing since I being with you. Let it all disappear. Because a sannyasin, he should know, doesn't belong to any country. He is not American or Brazilian or Italian or Norwegian or Chinese or anything. And he doesn't belong to any sect or any religion or any political party. So after this summer retreat, I started to close my Italian life. And in the middle of October, I'll be free to follow you and live with the Sangha. I feel so happy and excited, but also scared. Yeah, but the happiness and the excitement will take over. Still now you can think, you know. As soon as the middle of October happens, then you step into it. Then there's no more thinking. The 8 months I spent is always worse when you think about something. What will happen? When it happens, you have no time to think then. So the jump into the river, the sooner the better. Then you will just scream. Then you are not scared. There is another thing I need to share with you. During those 8 months, I went to a 3-day enlightened intensive retreat in Italy. While I was there, I saw a picture of Yogananda having his feet washed by one of his disciples. Master, I was so deeply touched. I cannot say exactly what moved inside of me and how deep the emotion were, but I could clearly feel the devotion that was in that disciple to do that sacred act. Tears of gratitude, love, and devotion started to wash your holy feet, my beloved Master. Feeling the seed of devotion in my heart has been like finding the most precious treasure inside myself. What a blessed gift. This seed has always been there, Mukunda. It's just needed to come to the right soil for it to start growing. You have that in you, and that's why you could feel. And this is totally forgotten in the West. Maybe only in India they can do that beautiful act, no? Because they know, like you have felt, the grace of the Master. That's the only thing they can do then, is to wash the feet. He washed your heart, your mind, your soul. That seed is still inside my heart. It needs more water to grow up, to become this beautiful tree it knows it will be. It is delicate, but also still and strong. I can feel it so firmly grounded in my heart. Somehow I know it has always been there. It has always been there. It just needed to find the right place. My beloved Master, it will be a great blessing for me if one day you decide I'm ready to receive the sacred gift and privilege of washing your holy feet. I love you, Master, more than anything else in my life. more than I thought I could ever love. Your disciple, Mukunda. More than I thought I ever could love. That's my only concern, Mukunda, to free you from all your limitations so you can grow and special to the beauty. More love, more freedom, more peace. And only in love that will happen. This they have always talked about in the East, but is totally forgotten here. They say, I embraced the feet of my master, for he revealed to me God's whereabouts. This is devotion. I would have kept on sleeping if he hadn't woken me up. It was dark in my mind. I couldn't see a thing, but he lit the lamp in my heart. Beloved Master, this is my prayer. Please keep me always near. This is what I bring back here. That's my only concern, just to remind you of this beauty. Without devotion, all you are is a beast of burden, they say. Devotion, it changed everything. But who has devotion in this world, in the West? They have only money, PlayStation, a nice car, that's it. Nothing else. Oh, friends, take interest in the subject of devotion now. You only reap what you sow. Without devotion, life is wasted chasing illusions. The heart is there for devote itself to something. Then it's happy. If it doesn't have that, then it's at the loss then. And you cannot trick the heart because it knows what is of any value to be devoted to. The mind can be devoted to so many things, but not the heart. The heart wants the real. May everyone listen to the heart. Aum Shanti.